Our State Give and Take is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information at 530-898-9525. Welcome to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I interview nonprofits and people doing worthwhile things here in the North State. Today, I'm going to interview Anicia Johnson. And Anicia started an organization here in Chico called the AMA Culture. And she's going to let us know what that is and what is happening in our community with that. You know, I read about it, Anicia, and I'm so happy that there's somebody here that has taken that on. Let people know, you know, what your mission is and what it is that you're doing.
Okay, thank you, Bobby. Yes, I'm Anicia Johnson. I'm a native of Chico, born and raised, and I jokingly tell people going on 100 years ago here in Chico, I'm a lifelong resident. I'm also a graduate of the university here, and I'm now a grandmother, and I'm very passionate about education that will inspire our young people, particularly children of color, but all children, to be interested and engaged in their schooling, which is going to set a course for them to be successful, contributing members of society throughout their lives. So as a native of Chico and still here, I've been looking around the community and thinking, what would I like to see? And that's how AMA Culture came to be. Our name is AMA Culture, A-M-M-A, Culture, Education, Sciences, and Arts. We are an African-inspired resource for educators and outreach to youth and their families and peers and the general public. Our objective is to instill pride in and respect for the African diaspora, which means most of us need more correct information. Most of us are lacking knowledge of African history and, of course, African-Americans. We have, I think, 42 million people categorized by the U.S. government as African-American. It behooves us all to understand the connection between we of the African diaspora here in America and our ancient African history, which is incomparable and great, in my opinion.
And what is diaspora?
Diaspora is often people associate it with the Jewish people who recognize that they have been dispersed throughout the continent. Well, Africans have as well. And so, you know, millions and millions of Africans were not only taken, stolen during the transatlantic slave trade, which I refer to as human trafficking in the more recent history, but also Africans have a thousands of years of history of traversing the planet and civilizing different places, continents in the world. So we are just about everywhere. And so we who are more considering ourselves more, just more aware of our connection with others throughout the world, recognize that we are part of an African diaspora as well.
Yes, I understand that better now. I see it has a lot to do with education and bringing that to schools and doing some work that way. And you were saying you were getting used to that part of it for yourself. Do the schools know about you, and how do they get you to come into the schools?
Well, I've personally taken it upon myself to do a lot of community outreach. And so most of the administrators, at least in Chico Unified School District, and a lot of teachers, as well as Butte County Office of Education, have been made aware of AMA Culture's presence and our availability to assist and support teachers in providing more pertinent information regarding Black folks and the African diaspora in general. So we can provide classroom enhancement, which we've done, and it's a lot of fun bringing culture and exciting characters into the lessons to highlight dance, music, and the children are quite receptive, and I've been getting a lot of feedback from the teachers that they are being educated as well, which I'm not surprised at all.
I'm not either.
So we're having a lot of fun with it and available to discuss the needs with any teacher or administrator who is interested or might be interested in finding out more.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit about that later on how to get in touch with you. I was noticing some of the things that were when I was looking at the website, which will also, I'll say it here once just to make sure people can start thinking about it. It is www.amaculture.org, which there's a lot of good information right there. So if anybody's interested, you could jump on there. And I had noticed something there said about the slave trauma that is permeating what we're dealing with now sort of in our culture. And I just wondered about that. I just thought it was so insightful. Discussing that and bringing that forward in classrooms is probably hard and important.
Yes. I feel like the slave trauma aspect of what we are becoming aware of is more of an adult topic and wouldn't necessarily be something that would be brought to children, because children don't tend to be as traumatized or entrenched as adults. But, you know, we as adults can recognize that there are specific issues within every demographic of our society. And understanding that since we're all connected, we each have a responsibility in understanding the impact of our collective history on groups and individuals. So there are experts that have studied generational slave trauma and what has been handed down to people whose ancestors were enslaved for generations, literally. So an important part of that that we can touch on in this segment might be how education can play a significant role in addressing issues, say, within specifically the Black community. There has been a term established called the classroom to prison pipeline, and it has to do with the inordinate punishment of Black and brown students, particularly males, more specifically males. And this is a societal thing where Black folks are criminalized in the minds of others that has to do with how we all are indoctrinated through media, through the news, and just through stereotyping. So understanding that, you know, there is this challenge that we as a community can come together and make sure that our children, all of our children, doesn't matter what color you are, what color the child is, they're all of our children, how we can come together and educate ourselves to know how we're going to get them through the system of education, the school systems, how we're going to get them through successfully and be a part of their success.
Yes. AMA does more of just celebrating the African experience, in that the United States has such a big one with slavery that there's a whole other part to the African culture that it sounds like that's one of the things that you educate people about.
Well, again, I'll reiterate that we have 42 million people in the United States that are categorized as African American. And how many people in the United States that are educated through our traditional public schools, or any for that matter, know anything about Africa or the history of Africa, because our history does not start here. And in fact, you can't teach world history without teaching African history, because it all starts in Africa. The first civilizations, kingdoms, queendoms, scientists, astronomers, astrologers, maritime sailors, architects, agriculturists, it all began in Africa. One thing that I point out to people is that although we're often shown poor images of Africa and problems in Africa, how is it that for thousands of years, tens of thousands or longer, Africa was known as the source for knowledge and wealth, natural and human resources? How is it that just within a few hundred years, now Africa is presented as poor? Some dots need to be connected. I just try to highlight facts about, like you said, the greatness of the various African traditions and peoples, and connect that to the African-American experience. So we, like I said, we have a lot of fun doing it, discovering great leaders throughout the diaspora, whether in ancient times or currently, and that's what we're doing.
I see. I bet that's taken a lot of your time, just learning about it and gathering a lot of information.
Well, I do say that I'm learning later in life things that are just so exciting to me and empowering about Black people, African and Indigenous worldwide, that I'm really excited about learning to disseminate it to young people and watching the light bulbs go on for them and the questions, and it's very exciting for me.
Stay tuned for more information about the Ama culture with Anicia Johnson. I'm Bobby Tryon. You're listening to North State Give and Take on 90.1 FM. State Give and Take. Back to our interview with Anicia Johnson, talking about the Ama culture here in Chico, California. 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico. There's you, and then are there some volunteers, and are there some students and kids that have joined in and played a part in this?
Currently, it's mainly been me, except for we do have these, as far as going into the schools and different organizations, it's been me so far, but we have had several community events that are open to the public. Our next one will be December 26th, A Taste of Kwanzaa, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, which will highlight the 7 character building and community enhancing principles of Kwanzaa, which is an African-American tradition that everyone can benefit from knowing. So that's our next one, and we've done a couple other celebrations of the African diaspora open to the public that have been very well attended by the general public, diverse members of the community. So at those events, we have several volunteers, and we're always looking for people that want to contribute and with, helping out, getting set up and clean up and different things like that. So.
And you're the person that if someone was interested in helping, of course, you're the one that people could call or connect up with.
Yes, that's right.
I would imagine. And you have a booth at the market sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. When they open it up to nonprofits, I've been over there, and that's another way to engage with the public. And we've met some great families that way, and children that are very interested, and parents that want their children to know more. So yeah, we try to have a public presence.
Yes, that's a good way to get it out there. And what inspired you? Here you are in Chico and educated. It was just the idea of it. It is your own idea, right? Ama?
Yes, it is. I'll go ahead and and tell you a little bit about the name. Ama is a name that's used in many parts of the world, and it's a very ancient word that means mother or God, and it's been synonymous in many parts of the world. And so I chose Ama from the Dogon people of Africa. And I always tell people, if you don't know about the Dogon, D-O-G-O-N, you need to research them. Quite phenomenal, very ancient people with extraordinary abilities. I'll just leave it there. But Ama is their feminine god of creation. And so I felt like that name was, I was just kind of divinely inspired to choose that name. But coincidentally, and we know there are no coincidences in the universe, years later, I find out that Ama is also used in West Africa for a daughter, the firstborn daughter who happens to be born on a Saturday. And that is me. So I didn't know that until, you know, almost 60 years old. Uh-huh. And I'm, you know, been attracted to that name. So Ama is kind of my spiritual name too.
Yes. Good. I see.
I sometimes explain that growing up in Chico, we Black people have been traditionally 2% of the population. However, when I was a child, and even up until recently, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize we were so few. So I grew up in a part of town known by some as Chapmantown. And there were most of the working class Black families and white and some Latino and some indigenous folks. That was the area of town many of us lived. So I was surrounded by, you know, people of color. I went to church literally 3 blocks from my house, went to school 3 blocks in the other direction. And that's, I, you know, grew up kindergarten through sixth grade with that experience. Until we left the neighborhood to go to the other schools in junior high and high school. But I grew up, I felt like in hindsight, under the loving wings of these hardworking, caring Black elders who were much younger than I am now, but they're my elders. And they had migrated from different parts of the rural South. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And they were just always pulling together to help each other. You know, there was some activism happening. You know, as a child, we didn't know. We would be taken along to meetings and we're just running around and playing. But now I know, you know, I was sitting at the feet of Mr. Joe Person and his wife, Pearl Person, who did so many things for this community. In fact, renamed the street Martin Luther King and had to go toe-to-toe with members of city government to make that happen. And we've got a monument established. And so I was around these kinds of people that, and without understanding, someday it would be my turn. Because at one point, you know, as a grandmother, I'm looking around going, wait a minute, where is that support for my young adult children and grandchildren that I felt, you know, that network? And I realized they had all those folks had gone on. They're, you know, they're with their maker and tag, I'm it. So that's kind of how I, you know, I decided. I remember in 2017 thinking, okay, I'm going to do something. I don't know what it is. I'm going to start this quote nonprofit. And I literally started beating the pavement, going door to door, talking to people. And I initially got support from Luke Sherba of Sherba Media. I have to put a plug in for that young brother. He was so helpful in the beginning to me, setting up a website for us and holding my hand through my first 2 events. Anyway, so just different people in the community like that. And of course, people know that I'm the daughter of Dorothy Johnson, for whom the local recreation center is named. And of course, I can't say enough about the example that she has given to me and so many others in the community for generations. My father, the same, who was Butte Junior College's first athletic trainer starting in 1968. So I had a lot of examples, and I didn't know that someday there would be a reason for that. And I'm having so much fun going into the schools. Yesterday we were at a school in Oroville, and I was there for the first time and just able to share some, just, we just had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wow.
I get really excited talking about it, and I'm really happy that you asked me to be on. And when other people show an interest, I just am feeling so grateful that I had a seed planted in my heart to do something that other people feel good about as well.
Yeah. And I hope that this kind of plants a seed or spreads the seed a little bit, you know, and gets it out there, because it just makes me feel like, you know, I've got grandkids. What a great thing for them to support and know about, you know?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm calling everybody that comes to our events. I just say, okay, you're part of the Amaculture family now.
Yeah.
And from the beginning, I've been telling everyone that I talk to, I go, oh, you're an AMA advisor now, because most people have some information that's going to be useful to me.
Sure. Do you have any kind of meetings, or is it just basically you sort of making those connections, or is there any sort of organized meeting kind of thing that people could attend?
You know what? I hadn't thought about doing that, Bobby. What a great idea.
Well, there you go.
I think we're jump-starting something here.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I have the board, the small board of directors. You know, I give them feedback on what I'm doing and get their support. But I think it would be a great idea to start having some community meetings around that.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm getting flashbacks to, again, Mr. Person and how he got that monument to Dr. King out there on 20th Street, and the community meetings that he did around that. So I like that idea.
Well, great. I like that too. So now, is your board, do you need anybody on the board? Is your board pretty set? I know you have to have a board if you're a nonprofit.
We have a board, and we do need additional members. People with some experience to help guide us. Yes, we're looking for that. So people can contact me if they're interested.
Okay, so that's great. So you're the person that would be good for people. If anybody's listening out there and interested in helping the AMA culture grow here in Chico, what is your number, Anicia? How's the best way?
The best way to reach me would be email. I'll say Anicia Johnson Education. That's AneciaJohnson, Anicia Johnson Education @gmail.com. And also at our website, AmaCulture, AmmaCulture.org, I can be reached. We are also a marketing fund of North Valley Community Foundation. We were an incubator fund in the beginning. They helped us get off the ground. But donations can also be made to the AMA Fund at nvcf.org. North Valley Community Foundation website. So yeah, funding is a big need right now, and there's a push for that. It's time for us to get our own facility and an office and a little after school venue and entertainment space as well. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for that. We're looking for support in many areas.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it sounds like you've done an awful lot, though, already, just yourself. When did you begin working on it?
2017, we were established, and we actually got our 501c3 in 2018. Yeah, and ever since then, we've been kind of plugging away, either with some small community events and a lot of outreach on my part.
Yes.
I'm that elder black lady in town that people will see approaching their family and saying, oh, hi, are you interested in handing my card? Are you interested in more black and African American history for your family? And, you know, 99.9% of people say yes. Many are black or brown, but not all. So yeah. that's the outreach portion of AMA culture.
Yeah. And the fact
that I was born and raised here, you know, I know, you know, people in education and business, and our family does as well. So that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and just your way that you are is so inviting. That's such a good thing for the whole organization, just because you want to be approached kind of, you know, I can feel that. That's great. Good. Good for you that you've put that all together. What a project for you. I'm sure it's something you think about all the time.
You know, Bobby, thank you for the acknowledgement and the opportunity to share here. It really fills my heart when people are interested. And of course, you know, when we all pull together for a better community and to help support the young people and to educate and enlighten ourselves. Yeah, it's my joy.
Yes, yes, I can see it. I can see the light in you for sure. Now, tell me again, the event coming up, let's make sure we put that out there. I know we'll talk about it as time goes on, but it's in December 26th, is it?
December 26th actually marks the first day of Kwanzaa. So we're going to do a taste of Kwanzaa in the afternoon, 2 to 4 p.m. We are looking for volunteers for that as well, people to just help set up and take down. And if anybody wants to donate an African-inspired dish, that would be great. But 2 to 4 p.m. at Chico Women's Club. Normally, for people who observe the tradition, it's a seven-day observance, and each day a particular principle or value is emphasized in the family and at community events. So we'll highlight all seven and just give people a taste of Kwanzaa.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So, and that's how Kwanzaa works. Each day you take one of these qualities or one of these principles and then focus on that in the day and talk with it with your family. And
exactly. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, people have heard about Kwanzaa, so it's kind of nice to get that word out there, let people know what it is, know what the celebration is. And it's nice because you can celebrate a number of things at that time of year.
Absolutely. I realize, you know, it can enhance what you're already doing.
Yeah.
You know, in your family, in your community. And or it can be an alternative for some people. Some people are looking for a different way of recognizing this important time of the year.
Yes, yes, I know. I think about that in my family, too, when I watch the piles of presents and the big commotion that goes on. It'd be nice to focus on some principles. I like that.
So I'm going to go ahead and list the principles for you.
Okay.
And they're each listed in a Swahili term and an English term. So the first one is umoja, unity. The second one is kujichagulia, self-determination. Next is ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujama, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. And kumba, creativity. Then imani, faith. And I know for me in the past when it's like, oh, I'm supposed to know these words. Well, I haven't memorized those terms. But when I think about those principles, you know, it triggers thoughts of how I can incorporate more of this. And without even like with my grandchildren, maybe not specifically telling them, oh, we're doing Kwanzaa, but it's reminding me of traditional values.
Yeah.
Traditional family values within every culture, I think, that I want to remind them of.
I like some of them, and they're a little more than just a simple, you know, what was the one about economics? I mean, there's some principles there that are, you know, pretty advanced, really, seems like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's taken from, you know, this tradition, the idea is really taken from ancient African mm-hmm. traditions and values. They are very advanced people.
Yes, you can.
You know, they're the civilizers of the world, the African.
Right. I mean, there's more to it than just simple loyalty and truthfulness. And, you know, they've got
to work on. Yes. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, I am so glad to talk to you today, Anicia. I've seen you around town. And I've always, first of all, thought, oh, what a striking, lovely woman.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm always kind of interested. And I knew that you were doing something, but I didn't know what it was. Someone at the market had told me you had a booth there and were, you know, they were impressed. They had stopped at the booth. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah, let's just get it out there and get people kind of interested. And do you know when you'll be at the market next by any chance?
You know, I'm waiting to hear back from them. I think, I'm not sure. No,
okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'd love to see you there if you're there. And great. I sure appreciate talking to you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it as well.
Yeah.
And we'll stay connected.
Let's do that. You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Anicia Johnson talking about the Ama culture that she started here in Chico.
You can listen to this interview and any of my other interviews at kzfr.org. Go to programs, go to Tuesdays, and go to North State Give and Take. Come back next week at 6 p.m. on Tuesday for more of North State Give and Take. Stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis